Gould's Book of Fish, a novel in 12 fish, written by Richard Flanagan and read by Humphrey Bower.
The king, with whom I share my cell, betrays nothing to Popjoy. In truth, the king betrays next to nothing about anything, says nothing, is next to nothing, and devotes his time to silent communion with the angels, for which I am grateful. He is a most remarkable man, the king. His presence is large, inescapable. You can feel him all over you. Sometimes I think of him only as a creeping slime rising up the walls. At other times I feel an odd fondness, and my admiration for his very considerable achievements is unquestioned. He grows daily, not only in my estimation, but also, it has to be admitted, in his very being, becoming more and more corpulent, yet remaining in his movements gentle and poetic. The king rolls, the king bobs, the king moves in waves. How he does it, this growth, this dignity, I can't say. The rest of us shrivel and waste like weevil-hollowed husks on what little they feed us. But the king just inflates. As a companion, I find him sage-like, inscrutable. I sometimes think his increasingly buoyant dimensions may indicate there is more of the Occidental divine about him than I have previously suspected. In argument, the king sets an admittedly wide compass, allowing his opponent, me, to play out my own line of reasoning so far it unravels and snags on its own impossibilities and contradictions. It may be objected that he says nothing new, but he communicates it wonderfully well. An example. One day, admittedly as a needle, I put it to him that Scottish Presbyterians had produced numerous works of great theological worth. Typically, he was some time replying, but I knew he was thinking, there is not one work of theology worthy of the name produced by those non-conforming oat-eaters. I myself had no idea whatsoever, but by a lucky coincidence, I had noticed in one of the surgeon's catalogues sent him from London bookshops the title Aberdeen on the Sumerians. Armed with this slight, possibly irrelevant knowledge, I stuck the knife full in. Perchance you have read Aberdeen's magnificent discourse on the Sumerians. He said nothing, admitted nothing. It was an accusation, all the more telling for remaining unspoken. I felt a heat rising, and then went full red in the chops, and it was all over. We both knew it. I was exposed as a fraud. Yet typically he spoke not a jot more on the subject, and has never raised it since. There is about him something majestic, which produces effects of great regality. I have seen even Popjoy stunned by the mere sense of the king's presence, though Popjoy, of course, fails to see what I do. Still, he wrenches his nose and lemons his face, and I am sure he shrivels his arsehole, as you do only on two occasions, when in the presence of a great power or of a terrible stench. I would, it is true, like the king more, if he were a little more outgoing, more easy with others. He makes no effort with Popjoy, and though I urge him on about the obvious benefits of a social life, he has no desire to be part of either my turd tossins or Popjoy's beatings. Still, such is his choice, and I know he has his reasons. An oak cannot bend like a willow. It is things other than hail fellow well met falsely fawning that mark the king out as remarkable. Another example, his complexion. Most of us go paler than the surgeon's white lead in these cells. But the king, manifesting some regal hereditary disorder, some Habsburgian pigmentation perhaps, grows daily darker, his skin blacker, and more recently, disturbingly, greener. But he suffers not to suffer. No word of complaint or distress passes his lips.